The projects in the TIP are largely funded with federal transportation dollars. 52% of funding is from federal sources, 37% from local, and 11% from state sources. The modes of travel funded are highway is the lion's share with 56%, but transit's not too far behind at 42%, and then bike and ped improvements at 2%.
Is that on the last slide, is that funding allocation based on, I guess, available funding? Like
Well,
there's just more, a lot more funding available for highway projects than there are for bicycle and pedestrian. Is that the reason, or is there a different reason?
I think the yeah, I guess you would, when you think of it that way, I suppose you could say that the amount of funding is probably the limiting factor as far as how much each category gets, because one thing that's for sure is all the needs far outweigh for all of these things, the needs far outweigh the amount of funding. So yeah, I guess you that would be a fair assessment that the amount of funding is kind of what controls how much each mode gets, because the demands are far and the needs are far outweigh the amount of funding available. So out of the highway improvements, the 523 million, those three are broken down into three broad categories: preservation, operational, and capacity. And by far the greatest amount of spending is done on preservation, such as resurfacing, rebuilding bridges, that type of thing. Capacity is 15%, and operational is 8%. And there's only a couple capacity projects in the TIP, but those projects are very expensive, so that's what kind of bumps up their percentage so much. Transit projects, the money that goes to transit projects goes toward metros, and part is operational services, and also the replacement of their fleet, large and small buses, maintenance of equipment and facilities, and their coordinated human services transportation plan. So the TAC committee did approve the resolution today. Next week, the policy committee needs to approve it. And the document was already submitted to ODOT on May 1st. And then ODOT takes ours and the other MPOs in the state, and they forward those down to the US DOT, which, and then they review all the TIPs, and they usually come back with some comments, and those have to be approved by them by June 30th. And then, if all goes well, the new TIP goes into effect on July 1st, 2023. And it becomes a living document that, changes as projects change, as amendments are added, and then it starts going in through the amendment process as changes are needed. So that's pretty much it. And if there's any questions, I'd be glad to try to answer those. And this document can be viewed on the AMATS website. It's on the homepage, and it's still considered a draft version until the final approval. So you're welcome to look at it in more detail on our webpage.
Okay. I actually I did scan through it a little bit and looked at some things. I'm more interested in the bicycle and pedestrian projects on there. One project that I'm sure you all know that I have interest in is the Veterans Trail project. And I think there's two different projects listed. And if I remember correctly, those were moved out to 2027. And I just wanted to confirm that that's still the case, and then maybe check if you all had heard anything about those projects or any progress made with between Metro and the FTA.
Yeah, so Austin, I can take the second part of that question first. I was actually just talked to Valerie Shea today. I guess they are meeting with FTA Law on Monday, or the lawyers from FTA, to review their options and potential, you know, for the potential of selling the rail corridor. So they are. She was saying to us that she thinks they're close to being able to fill in the other partners on where that next step is. So it is moving forward, albeit, you know, slowly. And then, you know, I'd also heard that there was even some of the Norfolk Southern line in Hudson that NS was open to possibly parting with.
Yeah, we had heard that too, and we were
yeah,
pretty
and
excited about that news.
yeah, and if that would happen, you know, it kind of takes out of play. If Hudson could acquire a piece of that rail line, it would sort of take out of play the whole freight argument on the corridor, because there really wouldn't be anywhere to service it from. But it sounded like, you know, NS, when they walked the tracks, were not, you know, did not seem to think that it was a critical line for their needs. So those two things together, I thought today, were positive, you know, were positive things towards moving the trail forward. But again, on the FTA side, they're the ones that are kind of saying it's slow.
Okay. Yeah, we had kind of heard that Metro needed to get an appraisal. Do you know if that has happened yet?
I don't believe it has happened. I believe the appraisal comes after FTA has reviewed all the has reviewed the I guess the options. So I guess the way I understood it, and again, I'm not in these meetings, but you know that Metro RTA and their team kind of outlined what their steps could be based on how they read the code, and FTA now is meeting with them to interpret and say, you know, yes, you can do it this way, you can do it that way, or no, this isn't allowed. That's the way I understood it, but I don't believe there has being like an official appraisal of that line yet.
Okay.
Hey, Austin,
Yeah.
I just glanced at the TIP, and you're correct. That project is in fiscal year 27.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions about the TIP?
I have a question. I guess it's maybe not directly related to the TIP. Applications for like the transportation alternatives grants, those will be due sometime in late summer or early fall.
Yeah,
Do you all have a date for the deadline on that?
it'll probably be similar to last time, and last time they were due October 31st. I think that was the last Friday or the last business day in October. So it should be similar this time.
Okay. And do you know how much funding will be available for the transportation alternative grants in this cycle?
We haven't done the calculations yet, but I am expecting it to be, I would expect it to be close to 3 million, I think.
Okay. Cool. And one other thing I noticed in the Safe Streets for All plan, there was maybe some recommendations to open up the transportation alternatives to complete street projects that maybe weren't included before. And I think that's really interesting. And I don't know if you all have any additional comment on that, but
Well, you know, so the thing that came out of it is, and I don't know how familiar you are with like North Water Street in Kent. There was a safety project there where they did bump outs, they narrowed the road to slow traffic down and widened out the pedestrian elements. And one of the things that we've talked about internally is, you know, how do we help communities do things like that to make streets safer? And so what I can say is that while I, you know, I think it's a goal, and it's a definitely a goal of mine, how we actually execute that through the program is something we haven't resolved yet, of like, what's the best way to do that? Because what we run into sometimes is that federal money is great for a lot of things, but the smaller the project, the less effective the federal money is because of all the strings attached to it. So if a community wanted to say, you know, build a bump out or a mid-block crossing somewhere for, let's say it was, you know, $85,000, if they took the AMATS funds, it'd probably end up being $175,000, and they'd have to do things to follow the federal process that would make it more cumbersome than if they did it locally. So what we're trying to figure out, and we're having some discussions with some membership, is just, what's the sweet spot? You know, where, what's the scale of that type of project that TASA, that would, they'd be like, yeah, I would apply for $250,000 of TASA and, you know, do the rest of the project on my own. Or no, 250, it's not worth it. I'd rather just, you know, do it locally. And so we've been having some conversations with some of our communities to get a sense of where that sweet spot may be. But, you know, I personally really like that idea. Like, to me, it's a way that we could, you know, have some impact on streets that otherwise maybe, you know, they might not need to be resurfaced, or they might not need to be a big project. They just need some of these extra things. So, you know, TBD, I think, is the honest answer.
What would really be nice is if this federal money had some type of fast track program that could be used. Like if the amount was under a certain amount or whatever, or the project was a certain type, it'd be nice if there was some type of fast track program where it wouldn't be so cumbersome to do a small project.
But, like what ODOT has done with their one safety.
Yeah.
I can't remember what it's called offhand, but their one safety
program
is designed specifically like a fast track kind of thing for those smaller, easy to implement projects.
Which they use their state funds for. They don't use their federal funds.
So. There's a reason for that.
Well, yeah, I think it's a great idea. Just like the possibility of opening that up. I do love our trails, but I think our streets have needs too for other modes of transportation. So
And as you know, and you know, you've looked at our stuff long enough, and the trail projects we want, you know, we, like we've talked about with veterans, is like, we know it's a good trail. We know we want to build it. We can't necessarily predict when exactly all this stuff is going to line up for it to happen. So in the meantime, if in the short term we can backfill that with other types of projects, you know, I think that's where we really want to go, because, I mean, honestly, we want to have our cake and eat it too. You know, we want to be able to keep building those great trails, but then at the same time, possibly do some of the smaller stuff. So, but it is a challenge with the federal money.
Okay. So the final thing on our agenda is presentation regarding the Coordinated Public Transit Human Services Transportation Plan. And Jeff is going to cover that. It's something that AMATS is starting to get involved with our two transit partners, PARTA and Metro, in updating.
Yeah, thanks, Matt. So the coordinated plan is something that we develop every 4 years or so. For about the last 15 or 20 years, we've developed one of these plans. And the purpose is to coordinate the human services agencies with the RTAs so that they can best assist the elderly and disabled population and their transportation needs. So we go through a process, which we're in the middle now, where we're trying to get some ideas from people and see what the needs are of the local social service agencies and Metro and PARTA, and see how they can best accommodate the elderly and disabled. So right now we have put a survey up on the AMATS website. If you want to take a look at it, you can certainly participate in that survey of what your needs are in terms of transportation. It's under What's New on the AMATS homepage. That survey is going to be up for about a month, 5 weeks. And when that's all put together, we'll have some ideas and we'll be able to go from there. So we'll be meeting with all the stakeholders, and there'll be some public meetings as well. There's always going to be an opportunity to comment via email or public meeting, through the survey, or through if you're a member or take part in any social service agencies, or if you travel Metro Party, be also be able to comment through them.
Yeah, and I would just say, to add to that, if you're basically one of the three agencies that are going to be working on all of this, but if you know folks that might have an interest in that sort of thing, like, definitely share the word about the survey being out. We want to get our survey results as high as we can, of course.
Yeah. Okay. I'll share it on social media or something.
Cool. That'd be wonderful. Thanks, Austin.
So I was just going to throw out there that it's also, we've tweeted it and it's on our Facebook page. So if you follow us on Facebook, you could find it there as well.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah, I probably do, I think.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So that's all we had for our items we wanted to share, but did you have any other questions about anything we have going on or just about projects, Austin?
The only other question I have right now is, I think there were some carbon reduction grants that had become available, and I was just curious if you all maybe had any more guidelines about what sorts of projects would qualify and how that money will be allocated, or how projects will be selected for those grants.
Yeah, so our major funding update is going to be starting up here after we approve the TIP this May. So that's really when we're planning on diving in deeper. The few things that I think we have discussed are, one, potentially using the early year money, like from 22 and 23, to support some of the existing projects that are in the pipeline that meet the criteria, and then looking at having the rest of the funding being used out, like, because our round of funding will probably go out through 27, 28 with that assumed funding level. Would be looking at new projects that typically would follow the CMAQ guidance that we have. We're not sure how prescriptive we want to be. As far as I'm aware of, like, you could have bike and pedestrian projects be eligible for it. You could have things like roundabouts, EV charging infrastructure. And I think one of the questions we're going to be having with our committee, our subcommittee, when we meet, is kind of to go through that. Of like, what do they think are the most important things, or how do we want to score those things? Maybe they're all eligible, but we rank them with a different level of points. So again, that's kind of where we are, but we're going to award that as part of our regular round of funding come, as Dave said, that would be due at the end of October.
So those, I guess the details that I was asking about, those will appear in the funding policy guidelines when that's released. Okay.
Right. Great. Right. Yeah. And that one will be interesting because we do have to sit down kind of with our subcommittee of members and just sort of get a sense of where they're at with it and what they, what they'd like to utilize it for. And then also with us kind of saying, hey, this is what we think we need to use it for. I mean, the nice thing is like, unlike some of our other funds, it can't be taken away from us. So that's why we haven't been in a huge rush to say, get it on the street already. But it does provide or present another opportunity for funding, which is a good thing.
Great. Thank you. That's really the last question that I had. Definitely wanted to thank you all for the great work that you do. And I thought the Safe Streets for All plan was really great.
Good. And I don't know if you saw, based on those comments that you made at the stakeholders meeting, we did, I can't remember exactly what they were offhand, but there were some, you made a couple of comments and we tried to address those in the final plan. So I don't know if you caught that or not, but.
Is the final plan up on the website now? Or
it is, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I'll take a look. Thank you.
Okay.
Austin, pretty soon we're going to have to start paying you.
Yeah, well,
thank you for taking the time and just looking at things, and it really does help us. I mean, the comments and things that you caught in the last CIC were definitely a benefit, and you know, I think that's, I mean, on a beautiful day like this, it's definitely a sacrifice to sit in on an AMATS meeting. So we appreciate you as well.
Well, I know you all are sacrificing here too. So
it's no problem.
No, thanks. Thanks for the interest.
This stuff. We, you know, everybody's happy to be here. You can see it on their faces. Like
we're all smiling. Look.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you again for participating.
Yeah, thank you.
Heather.
Sorry, I wanted to see, Austin, you kind of headed up a bike and brainstorm last year, is that correct?
Yeah, and Seth helped out with that.
Okay, so I just thought I'd double check with you to see if there was any need for another bike and brainstorm this year.
Good thought.
Since we're into that season.
Yeah, so interestingly, I think one result of the bike and brainstorms that we've done in Cuyahoga Falls over the last couple of years is I had some discussions with Mayor Walters after the last one, and he actually agreed and has been very supportive about forming a bicycle advisory committee within Cuyahoga Falls. So we've met a couple of times this year with Mayor Walters and a group of people that most of whom were on some of the previous bike and brainstorm rides. So we've talked about doing another one this year, but we haven't like worked out any details. Who on your end would be working on those if we were having interest in doing something again this summer?
Yeah, I would start with Matt, you know, but I think we're working at, so, you know, obviously, we've lost a few employees along the way. The other person that we were planning to take over has recently left as well. So it's probably going to be a combination of Matt and Heather and Seth kind of working through that. But anything that you want to get like started and scheduled, I'd say, Matt, probably go to you, right?
Yeah. And it's Heather and I were just talking, I think it was yesterday. So we're planning to do one in the city of Akron on June 10th, but it kind of looks like that's falling through. So that's all just to say we were planning to hopefully do two this year anyway, but certainly open to, like, you know, if there's a need anywhere, definitely let me know. We can start working on planning that for sure.
And Matt just authorized $4,000 of bike swag, so we need some reasons to hand it out now that we bought all these bike lights and bells and all sorts of stuff. So
we have a kids bike rodeo coming up here in a couple of weeks. So
okay, where will that be?
That's at the Montrose Home Depot.
Okay.
It's like the great most location. Depressing location you can imagine for a bike rodeo. But no, I guess mostly the Copley Police popular. Department puts that on, I think, every year? And they actually reached out to us and asked if, because AMATS has participated in that before and asked if we'd be willing to. So we said absolutely. And we had to have some nice swag to go with it. So
yeah. So if you need any updated headlights or taillights, stop by the office and we can give you 20 of them.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah. And that, just so you know, that bike rodeo, it's, I don't know if they put ages on it, but I think it's billed toward, you know, like what, 5 to 12 or, you know, kids. and it's on May 3rd. I believe June it's 3rd. 12 to 3. Or not May 3rd, June 3rd. June 3rd.
Okay. Yeah.
It's happening a week ago.
Yeah.
Great. Yeah, thanks for that. And I'm not sure if I'll be there, but I'll definitely look into it because, you know, I think Mayor Walters is open to doing stuff like this in the falls.
Great.
And he's actually, the city's planning to apply for the Bicycle Friendly Community program through the League of American Bicyclists. I'm not sure if you all are familiar with that program.
If, and if you guys, if that process, they need any data or anything like that, you know, we've helped other communities apply for those in the past.
Okay. That's good to know. I'll definitely let them know that, you all could potentially help with that.
Yeah, I think we I helped. Did. Oh, sorry, Austin. I was just gonna say we helped. I know we helped Akron, and then I think we helped Barberton too at one point.
I think it was Barberton.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
And if you do get any, you know, working through your advisory committee, if you decide to do anything like a bike rodeo, and it's the kind of thing where you would want, you know, agencies to set up a booth or like, definitely let us know. That's something we'd be happy to participate in. Sure.
Okay, great. Yeah, and definitely. We'll let you know.
One final comment, and I don't have it. It's not fleshed out whatsoever. We're still working on it, but there's going to be a statewide commuter challenge this September, I believe, is what the plan is. So just wanted to give you a heads up to look out for that. It sounds like it's something you might be interested in. There's talk about prizes. So we'll see.
Great. Thank you all.
Okay. Thanks, Austin.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Austin. Appreciate you taking the time.
Yeah, thank you.
Have a nice night. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
You too.
Have a good night. Bye.